Hi, good morning. Hope everybody's doing well. Everybody seems real quiet, except for this crew right here. I'm going to make them move to the back of the church here real soon. So, well, good morning. My name is Andy Driscoll, and I'm the lead pastor here at Life Point Church, and we're so excited to have you here. I'm thankful that you chose Life Point Church to be your place of worship, to hang out and do life. And that's exactly what we're going to be talking about for the next 2 weeks. We're going to be talking about doing life together. Something we've talked about a lot here. It's on our website, it's on our sign, and we're serious about doing life together. And so for the next couple of weeks, for this week and next week, we're going to talk about that a little more in detail. And so this message series is called Together. And we're going to talk about the importance simply of doing life together, of being in community, the importance of the right relationships in your life. So we're going to be spending most of our time today in 1 Samuel chapter 14. But before we get there, I want to read to you the words of Jesus that are that's found in Matthew chapter 18, verse 20. And this is basically going to be the foundational verse for the next couple of weeks. And it's this. It's a very common verse, but yet incredibly powerful. It says, "For where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I among them." Where two or three are gathered. Some verses say two or more, right? When two or more are gathered together, I am with you. Again, some of the most comforting words, the comforting knowledge to have is the fact that God is with us. When two are gathered together in his name for the right reasons, he is with us. Now, some may ask, well, then does that mean when I'm by myself that he's not with me? Which, of course, that's not the case. You know, Scripture says that he will never leave us or forsake us. He is always with us. But there's something special. There's something powerful that happens when believers come together and unite. They're together in community and they're in agreement with each other. There's something powerful that happens. And there's a special presence of God that takes place when that happens. And today we're going to be talking about the importance of this type of what I'd call biblical relationships, the biblical community. Again, here at Life Point Church, we talk a lot about doing life together, the importance of developing, creating more opportunities for us to do that. One thing that we're very, very passionate about, but I'm also very aware that we are people and we are human, and sometimes we get busy, right? And in our own busyness, we lose track and lose sight of actually doing life with the people that matter. We get consumed with ourselves. We had a lead team meeting with the leaders here at the church, and that's one of the things we talked about this week. We recognize that even within our own team, you know, our leadership team, we aren't doing life together like we should because we're busy. We want to handle things by ourselves. We don't want to burden other people. But in reality, that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to come together, the good, bad, and the ugly, and do life together. And as a leadership team, we recognize that that's something that we have to do. If we're not doing it, the church isn't going to do it. Right? So we have to do life together. It's critical. It's important. There's something amazing that takes place when his followers, when believers come together in community. It's important that we do life together. And I personally believe that in every single one of us here today, every single one of you, that there's something incredible waiting to be unleashed. There's more greatness. There's more potential. There's more possibilities than maybe you even currently realize. But it's going to take those right relationships to pull that out, to help you to see that, to help you to recognize that. I mean, for some of you, there's future marriages that are going to take place and that you're going to come together in a powerful way and, you know, and just really change your community, change your world, change your neighborhood, raise up new Christ followers that are going to do incredible things. You have the potential for that, right? Some of you, there's ministries that God wants you to join or maybe to start that he's going to unleash incredible things from, but you have to have the courage to step out and do that, the confidence to do that. There's businesses that may need to be started, that's what you're supposed to do, that you're called to do, but because of fear, you're not doing it. Maybe there's a book to be written or a blog or maybe a podcast that needs to come out that is going to bless somebody, that's going to do incredible things, but you've got to step out and do that. There's more greatness in store for each of you. But a lot of times it takes the right people to pull that out. And see, I think one of the problems is that we're missing that in our lives far too often. We're missing the right people. The right people in our lives. We miss that sometimes. We lose track and lose sight of how important that really is. The right people in our lives, the right relationships. So if you're taking notes, I want you to write this down. This kind of start everything off is this statement, is that you'll never do all God wants you to do without the right people around you. And that's kind of that's pretty heavy statement, right? But it's the truth. You will never do and be all that God has created you to do if you do not have the right people around you. It's important. God uses his people all the time to help accomplish his plan, right? So when you think about it, you know, it may lead you to think, well, are you saying that God's not enough? Again, of course I'm not saying that. But God uses other people in our lives to bring about his plan, to encourage us. And that's scriptural. We see that all throughout his word. I mean, that is a common theme throughout scripture. I mean, going all the way back to the very beginning in the book of Genesis, right? We see that we have Adam. And what does the scripture say? It says, it's not good for man to be alone. He said, it's not good for man to be alone. See, we are relational beings. We are created to be in relationship with each other and to be in relationship with him. So he created Eve, right? So he could have a partner. So they could have someone that was there for him, that could speak life to him, and he could speak life to her, and they could support each other, right? He created someone for him to do life with. We see it also, Solomon. He said this, he said, two are better than one. If one falls down, who can help him up? But if he has a friend, right? If he has a buddy, if he has someone with him, that person can help him up when he falls down. Because two are better than one. We have to be in community. We have to be in relationship with other people. But see, just as important as it is to have the right people and that the right people can help propel you to the right direction, to the things that God has created you to do, equally, the wrong people in your life and around you can set you back. Those people that aren't encouraging you to move forward, those people that are speaking death over your life, that are discouraging to you, that are negative, those people will set you back every single time. What I want you to think about for a moment is I want you to think about the five leading voices in your life. Right? The five most dominant leading voices in your life right now. The people that are the closest to you, that you allow in, right? Not just, you know, the people that you kind of have are acquaintances with or that you connect with or that you hang out with from time to time. I'm talking about the five closest people in your life, the people that speak to you and the most. They're the leading voices in your life. And if you show me those people, I can probably pretty quickly show you the trajectory of your future. Because you're only going to be as good and go as far as those people that are in your life. I mean, it's critical to have the right relationships. I mean, think about it at work. If your five closest friends at work, if they're all just negative, they hate their job, they hate the company, they're always talking about how terrible the boss is and how everything's not fair and, you know, just another day of this terrible place and, you know, blah, 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 blah. You know, you're eventually going to fall in line with that. You're not going to get to your max potential at your job because your job performance and your, you know, ability to exceed in your job is going to be capped. Because of those influences and those people around you that you are allowing to speak into your life. But on the flip side, if those five people that you work with that you allow to speak the most to you and have the most dominant voice in your life, if they're like, hey man, you know what? This is a great place to be. You know, we can work and move up in this company. We can be promoted, right? We're going to be loyal to our company. We're going to honor our boss. Even if they're unhonorable, we're going to honor them. We're going to respect them. We're going to operate with character, good work ethic. you take that, if they take that approach, those people that are around you, you're going to be doing the same. And your potential, your professional ceiling is way, way up because of the people around you, because you have the right relationships. You'll be able to succeed. Same thing in marriage. All right, say you're the five closest married couples in your life. They all have terrible marriages, right? They don't care about their marriage. They don't invest in it. And if those are the people that you're surrounding yourself with, you're on the road for that, right? If they're, you know, if all the guys, the married guys that you hang out with are all, you know, like a scene from The Hangover, right? And the wolf pack's ready to roll, and all the women are bad mouthing their husbands and always degrading them and talking about how terrible they are or whatever, you're on the road to a very similar type of marriage and relationship because that's what you surround yourself with. But then again, on the flip side, if you have surround yourself with people who have healthy marriages or at least are striving for a healthy marriage, who put God at the center of their marriage, and the husbands, they respect their wives, right? And they love their wives and they cherish their wives just like God does the church, right? And the wives respect their husbands and speak life to them, encourage them. If that's the type of marriages that are surrounding you, then your marriage has the opportunity to succeed, to move forward, to excel, because the right relationships are critical. And it's the exact same thing with our relationship with God. If you look around those five closest people to you, if they're just maybe casual Christians or maybe not Christians at all, and they just don't really even care, and they're not pushing you and leading you to a healthier, stronger relationship with God, then that's probably where you're going to fall, just kind of in that casual, you know, whatever kind of mentality when it comes to your relationship with Him. But then again, if you hang around people who make God's word a priority, people who pray for you and with you, right, that are constantly seeking to grow closer to Him, and they're serving, they're using their gifts inside and outside the walls of a church, then you're opportunity and your potential for your relationship with God to go sky high is there. Because the right relationships matter. It's important. And when two or more are gathered, God does incredible things. But our top five most dominant voices in our life will show you the direction that you're headed every single time. I've experienced that in my own life, both the negative and the positive. You know, I've been there. I've done that. You know, me and Jen were talking about just the other day about, you know, our group of friends that we hung out with, that we did life with, you know, when we were in like late high school and early college. And, you know, when I think back on that time, those were people that were striving to know God more. We were encouraging each other to be the best versions of ourselves we could be. And we had fun, and we goofed off, and we did stupid stuff too. But we were all moving in that same direction. And it's a time in our life that we will always look back on as an incredible and a very important shaping time of our lives. And it was because of the people that were around us, pushing us to be better versions of ourselves, pushing us to be closer to God, to growing. Those things are so incredibly important. It's important because whenever the right people gather for the right reasons, God is there, right? He's there, and then the right things happen, right? The right people for the right reasons, God is in that midst, and then the right things begin to happen because relationships are important. And today, specifically what we're going to talk about is the power of heart and soul spiritual relationships, heart and soul. Those are the type of relationships that we're looking for. And we're going to talk about, again, a story from the Old Testament. And I believe it's a perfect example of the power of this type of relationship. It kind of lays it out there for us. And it shows the power of doing life together, the importance of that heart and soul relationship. So before we actually get to our scripture, I want to give you just a quick little bit of context from this scripture. Again, we're looking at 1 Samuel chapter 14. And when we see here, we see that we have three main characters that we're kind of looking at here, people in this story. We see King Saul, we see his son Jonathan, and then we see his young armor bearer. And at this time, basically the Israelites, they were being oppressed, right? The Philistines were oppressing them. The Philistines were the bad guys, and they were basically whooping them. And the Israelites were terrified. They were scared, they were freaked out, and they were basically hiding in some caves because they were terrified of the Philistines. They didn't want nothing to do with them, so they're like, we can just hide out and try to ride this sucker out and be safe. And so this is where we're at. So let's pick up in 1 Samuel chapter 14. We're going to start in verse 1. It says this. It says, one day, Jonathan, son of Saul, said to the young man bearing his armor, he says, come, let's go over to the Philistine outpost on the other side. But he didn't tell his father. So basically what we have here is, you know, like I said, the Israelites are being oppressed and they're hiding out. And basically, Jonathan's tired of it. He gets to the place where he's done. And it says this one day, he said, man, let's go. Come on, let's go over to the Philistine outpost. Let's go. He's like, I'm tired of waiting. I'm tired of the spot that we're in. He said, I'm ready to go. In that one day, everything changed. And if you notice, it says that he didn't tell his father. And I think that's kind of important because basically, you know, his relationship with his father was kind of strained, right? It wasn't great. His dad was busy. He was the king. And, you know, so his relationship with his dad was strained. But here he is, you know, hiding out, you know, being captive and all these things. And he feels like, you know, maybe he was like, you know, my dad should be the one that's there, right? He should be there for me. This person should be there for me, but they're not. So then what does he do? He seeks out the right relationship. He goes to his armor bearer. He's seeking out that right relationship in his life. And for some of you, today is that day. When it says one day for him, maybe today is that one day for you that you're going to start to seek out those right relationships in your life. Maybe you know exactly who they are, but you just have to nurture that relationship, right? You have to invest in it because relationships are tough. I don't care whether it's a dating relationship, a marriage, a friendship, a relationship with your kids or your parents or whatever, but relationships are tough and they take work. They rarely, the right relationships rarely happen by accident. It's rarely by chance. So a lot of times you have to seek them out. And that's what Jonathan did here. He sought out the right relationship. But in order to seek out the right relationship, you need to know a few things about what the right people look like. You know, when you're looking at, okay, what's the right relationship? You need to know what the right people look like. So I want to share with you a couple things about the right people. And the first thing is this, that the right people help us navigate obstacles and temptations. Those are the right people in your life, not the ones that lead you into those obstacles and temptations, but the ones that help you navigate through that in your life. Check us out. 1 Samuel 14, verse 4 says this. So he's like, you know, let's go. We're going to go to the Philistine outpost. We're going to go get them. And it says, on each side of the pass that Jonathan intended to cross to reach the Philistine outpost was a cliff. So it was a cliff on both sides. One was called Bozez, and the other was Sinna. Okay, so to fully understand that, you got to know what these words mean. Okay, so the word Bozez means to shine or to ooze. So basically, you're looking, it's the impression of it's slippery. Okay, so you have this slippery slope over there, right? And then on the other side, it was Sinna, which means thorny, like a thorny bush. So there's obstacles in the way, right? So we see these things taking place. And it's interesting to me how in our life journey and in our journey with Christ, we encounter those things, right? Every time we encounter obstacles after obstacles. Sometimes after obstacles, and it seems like it's never ending, but we have these obstacles that we face, right? But then we also have, on the other end, we have temptations, right? Those temptations that constantly are coming towards us, and we need the right people in our life to help us navigate that, because sometimes we're not ready to do that on our own, or we're not able or capable in that moment of doing that on our own. And we need God's help first and foremost to help us navigate that. But we also need the right people surrounding us. God sends us those right people. We just have to be able to recognize it and invest in those relationships. You see, sometimes we get proud and we get greedy and you know, and we have these temptations, right? And or sometimes maybe you're tempted because you see somebody that, you know, that's attractive and you start having those feelings, you know, someone that's not your spouse or whatever it may be. And you need the right people to speak truth to you. You need the right people that love you enough to speak correction to you. You need the right people that will encourage you. Sometimes you need the right people that are bold enough to smack you in the face and say, "What the heck are you doing?" I mean, we need that. I need that. But a lot of times, we don't have that. A lot of times, you've not made yourself available for somebody to do that for you. But we need that. We need the right people to help us navigate those temptations and those struggles that we have in life. We've got to have the right people to help us through that. And the same is true about those obstacles, right? You run into challenges and just tough times or whatever it may be, and you're thinking to yourself, like, man, I wish I had someone that could help me, like really help me, not just, you know, on the surface level, but like really could help me. Like, I've never been in this situation, and I don't know what to do. I need someone's help. And I can pretty much guarantee you that there's someone here today, or maybe a lot of you here today, that you've got people all around you. Like, you have acquaintances, you have people that you know, people that you hang out with, you know, or whatever, but when you come up to an obstacle, you're looking around and you're like, man, I just feel alone. I feel like I don't have anybody. I wish I had someone that could speak some truth to me, someone could encourage me, could help me work through this situation, or that could just cry with me, or just listen to me, or whatever it may be. You have all these people around you, but in reality, you're alone, and you're missing that. And if that's you, if that's the boat that you find yourself in, then the honest truth is that you're missing the right people in your life. You're missing the right relationships, because if you have the right relationships, they're able to help you navigate those obstacles and temptations in your life. They'll speak truth to you, correction, encouragement. They'll know how to help you through those things. You got to have the right people to help you do that. The second thing that this text teaches us about the right people is that the right people will help us to overcome wavering faith. The right people will help you to overcome wavering faith. So let's be real, right? Let's be honest. We're in church, after all. That's the place where you should be able to be real and honest, right? But how many of you today, you say you're a Christ follower, and maybe you've been a Christ follower for a while or just a short period of time, but sometimes you have really strong faith, and then sometimes you find yourself just ridden with doubt. And you're questioning, and you're just confused. How many of you? Sometimes you have good faith, and sometimes it's wavering, right? Yeah. I mean, my hand's up too. I mean, we're all there. We all struggle with that from time to time, and we have to have the right people to help us work through that wavering faith. And this is the same thing that we see with Jonathan. He was in this place as well in verse 6, and it says this. It says, Jonathan said to his young armor bearer, he says, "Come, let's go over to the outpost of these uncircumcised fellows." So he's basically saying, let's go, man. We're going to attack. We're going to get them, right? So let's go. And then he says, perhaps the Lord will act on our behalf. So he's like, let's go. Let's get them. Like, we got this. And then then you see like a switch, like, but perhaps the Lord will act on our behalf. Maybe this will work out the way I think it's going to. Like, let's go. I got faith to go and to charge, but maybe this is going to work out, or maybe it's going to go really, really bad. I don't know. And that's what we see. We see that wavering faith. He thinks for a second that it's all good, and he's got that confidence, and then he begins to doubt. He begins to question. Man, I do that all the time. I mean, all the time. I'm like, you know, I'm like, I think God has prompted me to say this or to do this. I think this is what God wants me to do. I think. Right? I'm confident for a second, then it's like, I think. Or, man, God is really going to bless our faithfulness in this area. I hope. We know the right things to say, and we know what we should say, and we have those moments of strong faith, but then we always have that little bitty doubt that just kind of just hangs around, just creeps in. And that's the enemy trying to rob your joy and to steal the word that God has given you, to go and do what it is that he's created you to do. but yet we allow that doubt to creep in. And that's where we need the right people in our lives to speak truth. I mean, I think for me personally, you know, I've had a lot of these situations over the past several years. And when I think about who are the right people that speak truth into my life in these moments with that wavering faith, I think about my wife, who constantly, probably more than she feels like she should have to, is encouraging me and speaking truth and life to me and saying, you got this. Quit overthinking it. Right? I have the lead team, which is six the men in our church that are just phenomenal leaders. And they do the same thing. They encourage me. When I'm maybe asking questions or thinking, working through things, they'll say, yeah, if that's what God's saying, go do it. And then I have another guy by the name of Brian Scott, who's kind of my ministry mentor right now, and he does the same thing. These are the people in my life that help me with wavering faith, that help me when I start thinking that maybe this is what I'm supposed to do. They help me work through that. They're the ones that help confirm what it is that God is speaking to me. Help me to work through things that are going through in my own head. Like, I just sometimes need people to say, you know what, Andy, I believe that God has spoken this to you, so just do it. Just go. Quit talking, quit thinking, just go. Those people that help me with that wavering faith. And many of you here, man, you've got these dreams, you've got this vision, you've got this word from God that he wants you to do this or that or go here or serve in this place or talk to this person about God. You have all these things, but you haven't had the courage to act, to actually do it because of that doubt, that unbelief that might just be lingering there. So again, you've got to have the right people in your life to speak that truth to you, to help you through that, to help you navigate those waters. And again, who are the right people? Ultimately, the right people are the ones who are with you heart and soul. The right people are with you heart and soul. They're the right spiritual influences. Man, they're heart and soul. The real friends. I'm not talking about Facebook friends. Facebook friends are fine, but those aren't your heart and soul people, right? Instagram followers, Twitter followers, whatever, that all great, cool. But that's not what we're talking about here. I'm talking about real heart and soul people. People that are with you 100%. People that have your back regardless, that are with you in the good, the bad, and the ugly. The ones that hold you up when you can't hold yourself up. The ones that cry with you when you're crushed. Those that celebrate with you when you have some achievement. Even if it's an achievement they haven't had, maybe that they want to have, they don't care. They're celebrating with you because they're with you heart and soul. Those are the right people. And this is exactly what Jonathan had with his armor bearer. This is what we see. This is the picture of it that we see in verse 7. I think this is awesome. So Jonathan's like, man, let's go. Let's do this. But I'm kind of afraid. Perhaps God is going to do what I think he's going to do, but maybe this is going to go terribly. And he's telling his armor bearer, come with me, right? But he's like, I don't know. And check out what this armor bearer says in verse 7. He said, do all that you have in mind. Go ahead. I am with you, heart and soul. Man, he trusted him. He said, man, I've got your back. I'm here with you. You've got this. You can take this on. You're saying that this is a word from God, and I believe that, and I'm confirming that. Now let's go. I'm with you, heart and soul. Even if this goes sideways, I'm with you. I got your back. And we all need that. We have to have that. We've got to have that heart and soul friendship, relationship. We need that. We need that person that's going to say, you know, when you're afraid, I'm going to stand by you. I'm not leaving. When you're stupid, I'm going to correct you. I really need that. A lot of people don't hold back on that one. When you believe God has spoken, man, I'll confirm it. We need those people. We need someone that when you don't know what to do, they're going to be a sounding board for you. They're going to listen to your thoughts and they're going to bounce ideas, you know, off and actually help you work through that. When you're praying, man, they're going to pray for you and with you. That's the kind of relationships that we need. I don't know about you all, but when I'm praying for something big, man, I want people praying with me. I want people locking arms with me, man, and praying together, praying for big things. I want those people in my life. I need those people in my life, and so do you. We all need those heart and soul people. Man, when you go through a tragedy in life, and unfortunately you're going to. I mean, if you haven't, you're going to. When you go through those tragedies, man, you really need some heart and soul people. Right? I mean, you need that. If your teenage daughter comes home one day and, you know, and tells you that she's pregnant, you need heart and soul people around you to help you navigate those waters that are coming. What you don't need is some religious, judgmental nutcase saying stuff like, you know, well, if you'd been a better parent, this wouldn't have happened. Or there must be some sin in your life, and this is coming back around. You don't need that crap. What you need is someone that's going to come to you and say, no, man, I got your back. I'm here for you. I know this is tough, but I got you. I'm gonna work through this with you. You're not alone. She's not alone. We're coming together and we're going to do this. And we're going to take whatever it is that the enemy meant for something terrible, we're going to flip that around into something incredible. We're going to let God work something beautiful out of this. And we're going to do it together. Those heart and soul people, that's what we need. That's what you need. You know, if your marriage is on the rocks, if it's tanking quick, you need those heart and soul people. Right? You don't need someone who's going to take her side and then someone that's going to take his side and then be more dividing there. We don't need that. What you need is someone that's going to say, I'm not on your side. I'm for this team. I'm on your marriage's side. And divorce isn't an option here. We're going to work through this together, and I got your back. And we're going to work through this with you guys if you'll let us, right? You've got to have those heart and soul people that'll stick around, that'll be there, that'll hold you up, that has your back. I heard a story from a pastor that he told during a message, and I'll never forget this story. It's incredible. But there was it was one of the community groups in his church, and it was a husband and wife, and they had kids, and he had some medical issues going on, and he was going to have to be off work for a year. And she was going to have to be off work as well to help him, help take care of him and the kids. And you know, it was just going to, they didn't know what they were going to do. And their community group actually came together and floated their finances for an entire year so that they could take care of those medical, his medical needs. So they didn't have to worry about that. I mean, that's some serious heart and soul relationships. That's true community. That's what it means to be the church. That's what it is. That shouldn't surprise us. That should just be, yeah, of course that's what they did. But that's rare. It's rare. It's because we're lacking heart and soul relationships. And we need those. We have to have those. I mean, just think about if every group of believers operated that way, if every church was that way. I mean, people that didn't know Christ would look in and be like, I don't know necessarily what they believe, but man, but I want that type of community. I want that. That's incredible. And that's how it should be. People that don't know Christ should look in at what we have going on and be like, man, that's beautiful. But far too often, that's not the case. It's not beautiful. We have to get back to that. We have to get back to those heart and soul relationships. And I think about times in my life where I've experienced those heart and soul relationships and that my family has experienced that. I think about when my wife has, you know, had to have surgery, that the people from Life Point Church came around us and loved us, you know, and they brought meals to our house and were there for us to help us through that time because they knew that I can't cook. And that my kids were going to starve or we were going to go broke eating out every night. or we were going to go broke from buying all the new pans that we would have to get after I ruined them all. I'm known for ruining a pan, trying to make grilled cheese. So that's how bad it is. So, you know, but people, they loved on us. But I've also experienced the flip side of that, where my family was in crisis. We had a need. We were hurting. And I looked around, and those people that were supposed to be there weren't. It was heartbreaking. We have to have those heart and soul relationships in our life. And there's so many great examples that we see in Scripture of this. I mean, this isn't something that I'm just kind of just making up. I mean, this is from Scripture. And in the book of Ruth, we see a heart and soul relationship between Naomi and Ruth. Listen to what the language that Ruth uses when she's talking about Naomi. She says, "Wherever you go, I will go. Your people will be my people. Nothing will separate us but death." That is a heart and soul friendship, heart and soul relationship. Nothing's going to separate us but death. Your people are my people. We're in this together, right? Moses, I think one of the most incredible stories of this was Moses. God told him to stand up on the mountain and lift his arms up and hold him up, right? And that when he did this, the troops that were in battle would advance, and they would begin to win their battle under the lead of Joshua. But whenever his arms got tired and they started to fall, then they would start to lose. The battle would start going the other way. And he's trying to hold those arms up, but he can't. So God sends him two heart and soul friends, right? He sends him Aaron and Hur, and one of them sat on each side of him and held his arms up because he couldn't hold them up himself. They were there for him. They met his need, heart and soul. And man, I'm telling you, there's going to be times when you don't have the strength to make it. You don't have the strength to go on. You're struggling. You're sinking. Treading water. And you're losing. Praying for a snorkel because you are so underwater, it's ridiculous. There's going to be those times in your life, and you need those heart and soul friends. Those heart and soul relationships that'll hold you up, that'll pick you up when you're down, that will love you during those times, that will help carry you, they'll sustain you. Those ones that have your back, that are rooting for you, that are in your corner. You've got to have those relationships. They're key. And when we look in the New Testament, we see true biblical community. The book of Acts, we see what the church was intended to be, what the church should be. We see that they shared God's word together, right? They prayed together. They ate together. And then when anyone was in need, they sold off whatever they could to meet that need of somebody else. They were true community, a true church, heart and soul relationships. They were there for each other. They had each other's back. It was that radical love that exploded the early church, that people looked in and said, man, that is amazing. That's incredible community. I want that. I want what they have. That's what heart and soul looks like. That's what it looks like. But unfortunately, when we look at Christian communities and churches today, that's not always what we see. That's one of the most the greatest needs I think that we have in some of our churches today is true heart and soul community and relationships and having each other's back and being there. And it's tough because we're just flawed people, right? We're flawed. And sometimes we get self-centered and we get too busy, right? We allow the wrong people to speak into our lives and it gets us sidelined. We start going the wrong way real quick. But when the right people are there, speaking truth and life into you, praying for you and praying with you, inspiring you to be all that you can be, inspiring you to grow closer to God, inspiring you to dig into his word and grow in your relationship with him and your relationship with each other. That's when incredible things happen. When two or three are gathered in his name, he's there with them. We've got to have that type of relationship in those communities. I mean, if you want stronger finances, man, get around people who handle their finances biblically, who get it, who are striving to go in that right direction, right? If you want stronger relationships, get around people that have strong relationships, that value godly relationships. Surround yourself with those people. I mean, if you want to be closer to God, surround yourself with people who are close to God. Surround yourself with people who are seeking God's faith, and growing in their faith and doing the things that they need to do. Surround yourself with those people. Like I said, the right relationships don't just happen by chance. They don't just always fall into your lap. It has to be intentional. It's a decision that you have to make to surround yourself with those people. Man, I pray that for those of you that are Christ followers, that you would truly gather around the right people, that you would seek them out, and you'd begin to do life with them, be in community with them, be in community here. I mean, this is where it starts for us. We have to do that here. Like I said, our lead team said, we have to do that in our lead team first. And you all, we have to do this as a church first for us to be able to do it outside of these walls. We have to be in community together. We have to encourage each other. We have to do life with each other. And for those of you that maybe you're here and you don't know Christ, man, I pray that you would encounter real love, that you would see it here, that you would see it in other Christ followers, of them reflecting God's love. Truly being the church in such a way that it would make you say, man, I want what they have. I mean, LifePoint Church, may we be that type of church. I mean, that's what I want for this place. For us to be seeking after God and doing his call on our lives and on our church, fulfilling the Great Commission and doing it together in community with the right people, surrounding each other, loving each other. Heart and soul community. A community that reflects the true love of God. I mean, we can be that. We should be that. This is what we're supposed to do, right? That's what we see in Scripture, so that's what we are called to do. That we are reflecting God's love in such a way that people say, I want what they have. And what we have is the presence and power of God in our lives and in our church. So we should reflect that. Where two or three are gathered, he is with us. And when the right people come together for the right reasons, God is there and the right things begin to happen. Let's pray. God, we thank you for another opportunity and a privilege, Lord, to come to this place, to read your word, to be in community with people who believe the same God, or that are seeking or questioning God, that we can all come together in this beautiful place and do life together. A bunch of flawed and imperfect individuals and Christ followers trying to grow closer to you, God. And may we be a community that reflects your love. A community that is a true heart and soul community, that we live out that every day in our lives individually, that we surround ourselves with people that are with us heart and soul, and that we would in return be those heart and soul people for someone else, person for someone else. God, may we be that as a church. May we be that as individuals, God. May we focus on building those right relationships. And may it glorify you, God. As we continue in prayer this morning, maybe you're here today and you've never accepted Christ as your Savior. You've never stepped over that line of faith. you've just kind of kept God at arm's reach. Unfortunately, maybe it's because of what you've seen in churches or what you've experienced when you tried to seek out God from other people. If that's you, please understand that that's not God. That's flawed people sometimes trying their best and getting it wrong. But man, God loves you so much. He loves you so much that he sent his son to die for you, to shed his blood so that you could be made right with him, so that you could be made whole, so you could be forgiven, so that you don't have to go with this thing alone. And then he rose victoriously, defeating death, hell, and the grave, and he did all that for you. And if you're here today and you've never stepped over that line of faith, but you'd say, you know what, today's the day. I'm ready to give my life to Christ. If that's you, man, just call out to God however he leads. Scripture says that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you believe in your heart that he rose from the grave, that you will be saved. It's about acknowledging and confessing that you have flaws, that you're not perfect, and that you're in desperate need of a Savior, and placing your faith and trust in him as the one and only Savior. And if that's you today, you just call out to him with how he leads. It's confessing and believing. Maybe you're here today and you are a Christ follower. But when you think about those five people in your life, they're not challenging you and pushing you to be better. They're not encouraging you. You don't have the right people in your life. Those aren't the five most dominant voices in your life. Don't hear what I'm not saying. I'm not saying that you shouldn't associate and be around and connect with and do life with people who don't know Christ. You absolutely should. But your core foundation, those people that speak to you, speak into your life, that you hear and you listen to the most, and those have to be the right people for you to continue to move towards God and to do the things that he's created you to do and do the things that he's called you to do, because you will never do all that God wants you to do without the right people around you. And maybe today you're like Jonathan. You're like, today's the day. I'm going to seek out the right people. I'm going to be very intentional with it. I'm going to have to put some boundaries in my life with some other people. And I've got to take action on those things today. If that's you, man, lean into God and let him help you with that, because it's not easy. Relationships are tough. I struggle with it all the time still, trying to find that balance. But let him lead you in that. Let him guide you in that. Get those people that will help you navigate those obstacles and temptations that will help you overcome that wavering faith. Get those right people in your life so that you can do the things that God's called you to do, so that your relationship with him could be maximized. Find those heart and soul people and invest in those relationships. God, again, we thank you for your word. We thank you for loving us. God, we thank you for the roadmap that is your word and scriptures, God, that you give us to help us to navigate this life. God, may we make sure that we have the right people around us. And God, may we seek your face every step of the way. God, speak truth to each and every person that's in here this morning. God, help them to hear what it is that they need to hear today. Even if it has nothing to do with anything I've said, God, I pray that you would speak, that your Holy Spirit would just speak, Father. God, we love you and we thank you. In your name we pray. Amen.